You are listening to Sci-Fi Party Line. This show may contain spoilers and strong language. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line. This is your hostess, Kat, and I have a special guest, Joe, with, I think it's joepinionated.com. Am I correct?
That is correct. That's one of them.
One of them. Oh, Lord. You like me. I have like tons of websites. I met you on Twitter, and kind of tell us a little bit about yourself and where we can find some of your stuff. And
okay.
Just a brief intro.
Okay. So yes, my name is Joe and I go by Joepinionated online. I have two blogs. One is a pop culture blog, which is at blog.joepinionated.com. And the other is a Lost centric blog, which I spend most of my time on during the season, of course. And that one is joepinionated.blogspot.com. But you can find both of those just by Googling the word Joepinionated or going to my main URL, which is joepinionated.com.
I will put a link to it in the show notes so people won't have to remember anything. They can just click.
Yeah, good, because I just rambled on about that.
That's what I do. Sounds here. Good. That's what we do here, so that's okay.
Okay, good. Well, I'm comfortable already.
Let me tell you, I went to your website from Twitter, and I saw on your website that you do very detailed posts on each episode. And you did something very interesting that I will really want to talk about, which is you went on a Lost tour in Hawaii.
Yes.
How it was that? How did you even find that?
Well, how do I start? I planned our entire Hawaiian vacation around the Lost tour, which tells you that, luckily I have someone in my life who appreciates my fanaticism. there's a very popular Lost blogger named Doc Arst, and his name is John Laconis, but he went on the tour a couple years ago and posted photos, and I occasionally write content for his Lost site, and we were IMing about the Lost tour, and he sent me to the website, and there's a 2-hour, a 5-hour, and a private 8-hour tour, and of course, if you're going to go, you're going to go big. It turned into 12 hours, really, because it was heaven. They kind of customize it. The driver has 12 hours, and he has a bunch of filming locations in mind based on whoever's in the tour at the time. There's four people in the truck. Mm-hmm. You can say, we'd rather go see live filming if it's available. We'd rather go to the waterfall where Kate and Sawyer were and take that 3-mile round trip hike than go, eat shrimp at Sawyer's Shrimp Shack.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, it was actually, it's affordable. It's completely... one of the most amazing experiences because it's beautiful too. You're in a Hummer taking a tour of Oahu, Circle Island tour, in addition to going to where they filmed Lost.
Oh my God. I saw you had pictures of the camp. Yeah. You had pictures of towers and props, everything.
Yes. They take you to like the prop graveyard where, the wind has blown off some of the cover of, they have pieces of the wreckage, pieces of people's luggage, and burned out the Echo's brother's plane sitting there burned out. It's sort of surreal. The best part, we did get to see some live filming, but, I've annoyed some people because I'm spoiler free. So I saw filming of episode 14, and we are on episode 6 now. So that tells you how far in advance they are.
Oh my goodness.
But I am not.
Don't you dare tell me anything, woman.
Don't you worry. I have kept it completely mum because I don't want to, A, burn bridges with connections I've made, and B, my blog is spoiler free, and I don't want to alienate readers.
Right.
So anyway, yeah, I just got back from that, so that's why I'm rambling on about it. It was incredible, and I took 900 pictures that day, so I just literally, I had it on the camera on sport mode. I was taking several shots per, and I had to pare it down. So what you see on the site is just like the most iconic sights I could find.
Oh, okay. Well, it was a lot of pictures because I looked at a lot of them. So if you have 900, I'm sure we'll see that in a Flickr feed soon or something.
Exactly.
So my deal with Lost is I've seen every episode once. Okay, which means I get what's going on, but I'm watching it casually. I'm not blogging it or anything, so I'm not paying uber attention. And I sort of know what's going on, but I still have questions. And, I always try to, get inside of the a head of a person who's an Uber fan and say, do you know something I don't? You know, do you know from what the information that we have now, like this last episode with Dr. or Mrs. Hawking, why the hell are they even listening to this lady anymore?
I don't know her. It is kind of as she was saying, a leap of faith. Jack went from being the man of science to off island in those 3 years, obviously becoming more like Locke. And believing because he had to, because he needs to fix everything. That's always been Jack's thing. Sure. And he needs to go back and save the people on the island. He needs to fix that situation. And he does feel like it's his responsibility. I think that's why, like he even said to her, this is ridiculous. But then when she brings up his dear old dead dad, it seems more likely that he's going to do whatever she wants.
Okay. Yeah. She brought up dear dad, and dad is a proxy for who knows what. And
right.
I don't even get that. That made no, how is Jack's dad all of a sudden so important? Is he Jacob? Is Jack Jacob? Is what is this?
Well, that's the question. That's the big question. Then they introduced the grandfather. So you have three shepherd men, and people are talking about the Holy Trinity, and I'm not very religious, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. People are talking about that.
Oh my God. You just blew my brain up right there.
Getting to that discussion, particularly on my blog, because honestly, I'll be frank, I'm Jewish and I have never read the Bible. But I'm also a lit major, so I'm familiar with certain passages and I'm familiar with the literary allusions and references. Uh-huh. And that certainly came to mind when they introduced his grandfather. The whole thing with Christian Shepherd as a proxy is that in order to replicate as many circumstances as they could from that September flight on flight 815, the original crash, Christian Shepherd had to act as the proxy. He's going, Christian was in the coffin the first time, Locke's in the coffin the second time.
Oh, I That's get it now. I get proxy for the dead person that was on the flight the original time. I thought he meant proxy for weird guy floating around on island. I did not get that.
That might be true, too. That might be true, too. And there, it was very brilliant to me and very subtle the way they replicated circumstances. You obviously had Saeed in cuffs like Kate was the first time.
Yes.
But then you had Sun sitting by herself playing with her wedding ring, which is what Rose was doing, waiting for Bernard to come back on original flight. It was very subtle, you know? Yeah. And then, the whole question of why Ben is beat up, I don't really know how he was beat up or why, and we can get into that, but I think he was the proxy for Locke, who couldn't walk. So he was injured on the plane. So
I like it. I like that.
He recreated Locke's circumstances. And
but
I don't
he's
know if
not
he
crippled.
No, he's not crippled, but I think, you know, just to have someone who's injured and have a sling on, I know it's not the same at all as being in a wheelchair, but I think Ben wasn't even supposed to go back. Remember, after he turned the frozen donkey wheel, he said he could never return, and now he's returning.
Yeah, that is true. That is true, and that annoys me a bit, which makes me think maybe he's going to die or some crap like that. Because personally, I want to see him get it. I want to see somebody just take a belt or a shoe or a lollipop or a bottle of lotion, something, and just whoop his ass.
Well, you know, especially if he got hurt going after Penny. Because if you remember, he called Jack and said, I've been held up, and he was at the marina. And that's where Penny and Desmond's boat was when they were in Los Angeles.
Okay, somebody said that to me, but I totally blew it off because I had too much information. But yeah,
well,
you think...
I just do because when he said to Jack, I'm going to tie up a loose end and see an old friend. Well, we saw him go back to Charles Widmore and say, you killed my daughter, I'm going to kill yours. Penny, is it? And then Desmond shows up at the church, and that's a surprise to Ben, but it also means Ben can now find Penny.
Oh my goodness. Oh, I know. He looked rather pleased with himself when he's on the plane and he called. He didn't seem like he failed. He seemed like whatever he did, he succeeded at, but he got beat up in the process.
He did. And do you notice he disappeared right before the plane flashed? And well, we don't know if it flashed or crashed, but when Ben said to Jack, I'm going to give you some privacy, we didn't see him at all during that scene when the plane went down. So either
did he
disappeared.
Up?
Well, he did. He went up and he went toward the cabin, toward the pilot, which I thought was weird because they were in first class and there are no restrooms toward the front. So he got up and went toward the very front of the plane. So I don't know if A, he had anything to do with the plane actually flashing and crashing, or B, he was going to a restroom and he was acting like Charlie, who was, you know, a proxy for Charlie, who was in the restroom when the plane went down. That's how my mind works. I wake up at night.
I love that.
Yeah.
We don't know where he is because with the traveling from point to point, Desmond is the only person on the island that can travel through time as a person, right?
Or is that in his mind? Yes. Yeah, and it's not affecting him. Like, he has his constant, and he seems to be able to travel. But the question is, does he now, if he doesn't go back to the island, and he's obviously not on that plane, does he go back to help? Does Penny and baby Charlie go with him? Does, you know, what happens with Widmore? I mean, he's a big question mark. But I kind of still think that because Penny and Desmond are so key and they're such fan favorites, that there was no way they would hurt Penny, you know?
Yeah. I'm kind of concerned about what Kate did with Aaron.
Because
she was not behaving properly. She seemed a little guilty. And I think she did something stupid, and I'm not sure what.
Well, you know, she's never been Mother of the Year. And
indeed.
I offered a few suggestions on my last blog, but I'm probably way out there. I mean, she obviously didn't want to give him to – she had her trial last year, and she said her trial, the part of the probation is, I'm going to stay in state. So she's not going to call attention to the fact that she's leaving by giving him up to, let's say, Child Protective Services. But
okay,
she also could give him, even though she could give him to her mother, even though she hates her mother. She could have called Claire's mom and explained it and given him to Claire,
mm-hmm.
Claire's mother.
Yeah, I read that.
You know, there are or, and here's my crazy theory, Cassidy, Sawyer's ex and Clementine's baby mama. You know, Sawyer has a daughter named Clementine. And when he jumped off that helicopter, the big theory is that he whispered to Kate, you know, I have a daughter named Clementine. She's in New Mexico. Take care of her or find her or whatever. And so I think that she's met Cassidy before in a previous episode. They crossed over when they did a con together at a gas station.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going back to like season two, I think.
Yeah,
sorry. And so I think that Cassidy, maybe Kate gave Cassidy Aaron, which is just, she doesn't even know her, but it's better than her mother or better than the law, you know?
Yeah, because there was a secret and he told her to do something. We don't quite know what that is, but that... Wow, you have a long memory.
I kind of have an encyclopedic visual memory of clues and episodes. And believe me, I wish I had that kind of thing for the stock market. But although right now it wouldn't do me any good. It's
right.
All lost. Like, I think about the details the most random time.
Oh, my goodness. So I know initially that the writers of the show or the people of the show said that this was absolutely not going to be a science fiction show. And it seems like these later seasons that we've crossed
right.
over into science fiction territory. Have
right.
you heard anything of them saying why they just are out with it now? Are they running out of ideas? Is it shark jumpish? Is it what?
I'm biased. I don't think they jumped the shark. I think a lot of people were upset with, like, the Nikki and Paolo episode and that was shark.
I love that episode. I love that one. That was one of my favorites.
Thank you. I thought it served a huge purpose, and it was one of the first instances where the producers and writers of a show acknowledged the fans. They wrote that entire episode with in-jokes, and they killed off characters simply because of our outrage. And that, frankly, will change the television landscape, because usually they don't read the blogs, and they don't listen to that kind of feedback. And yet, you know, they wrote that whole episode for us as a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. We hear you.
They had Billy Dee Williams in it, for crying out loud. I mean, how could
exactly.
you not enjoy that? It had just random weirdness, and it was just a ridiculous episode. It was a break from the norm, and I personally love that episode, honestly.
Razzle dazzle, I'm telling you.
Razzle dazzle. Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely. I don't think they've run out of ideas. I think that at the beginning they didn't intend it to be a sci-fi, but with the introduction of Henry Gale and Ben and the introduction of the others and the stations on and off the island, the Dharma Initiative, I think that it sort of organically became a good way to sort of explain back and forth on and off the island. I have no problem with it, but I'm like you. I love sci-fi. I think that some people, it's a little bit intimidating or they're annoyed with it. But I do think that they obviously have an end game. I don't think they make it up as they go along at all. I think that they have an overarching 6-series whiteboard locked up somewhere under security 24 hours a day, and under which they have different umbrellas by character and by, you know, connections. And they definitely have, I've definitely heard them say that they have the last scene of Lost written, the last, you know, 30 seconds of Lost. I know that they have an end game in mind. I have total faith that it just, what other show in season 5 is this spectacular, you know?
Hmm.
I'm biased.
Well, no, I've there were some slow episodes in the previous seasons. I think that was, yes. What was that? The strike episodes or something.
Yes, the writer's strike.
Yeah, they were kind of slow, but then they picked back up. I think the addition of Faraday was very clever because I don't remember any connection to him from previous episodes. I don't remember any, you know how they connect everything. He just kind of yes. thrown in there willy-nilly yeah. along with Miss Hawking, and they kind of work.
Oh, yeah, and the fact now that we find out that Wigmore has been funding his research,
yeah.
and, you know, if Hawking is his mother, then obviously Wigmore knows what she's doing, so is he manipulating the whole Ajira thing? Does he own Ajira? Does he really have the upper hand on Ben? And why does he say he can't find the island if Hawking, and he's funding the research, that probably knows how to get back there? It's very interesting.
Well, Wigmore just doesn't seem like he's the smart type of guy to be pulling these types of strings. The airplane thing where he killed a whole bunch of people and... That yeah. is a bit excessive, so maybe. But, I mean, when you yeah. sit around and you talk to him, it just seems like he doesn't know much. He doesn't know much other than he has muscle to do things. Yes, we see the young Wigmore on the island.
Right.
You know, he's a bit hostile, but he doesn't seem calculating. He seems irresponsible, and I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. It just...
I agree. I think Ben operates more from an intellectual standpoint, and he has a plan, like he always says. I think that Wigmore operates more from maybe an emotional, immature perspective, but he has the money and the means, and he has the men, you know?
But I don't understand his purpose. That's the whole thing. Like, yeah, well, what does he want? He was on the island, and now he's not. Why?
Right.
Why?
Well, but did he turn the frozen donkey wheel? Is that how he originally left the island? Is that why he can't go back?
Donkey,
you know what I mean?
Like, such a great
I love
word.
Calling it the frozen donkey wheel. It's ridiculous. Because that's what the producers called it, so I just call it the FDW.
I know. But, okay, so didn't Locke turn the wheel? Who fixed the wheel? Somebody fixed the wheel already, right? It was Jack.
Well, Locke. It was dislodged, and then Christian Shipper showed up to Locke and said, you were supposed to turn it the first time,
right,
not Ben.
Right,
it's
right.
a little dislodged. Can you please turn it? And then Locke did, and that's originally how, I guess, this week's episode is called The Life and Death of Jeremy Bentham. So I have a feeling that episode will start or at least show us what happens as soon as Locke fixes the wheel and gets off the island.
And he fixes this wheel prior to his death.
Right.
So...
It's sort of part of it. I think what he, as Christian Shepherd said, it's part of a sacrifice. And, you know, Locke's always gone around saying, that was the sacrifice the island demanded. So now he's actually going to have to do it himself to get everyone safe and back. So it's going to be, I'm very much looking forward to it. I actually have a Jeremy Bentham blog, and I have a Jeremy Bentham Facebook page that I started last summer because I started studying him, Jeremy Bentham, the philosopher for England. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of parallels between, obviously they chose his name on purpose because there are a lot of parallels between the island and what Locke's area of study, I'm sorry, Bentham's area of study was. So I'm very interested in this week to find out what Locke did.
Wow.
Yeah. So you watch it one time, right?
I watch it one time and then okay. I'll read Lostpedia. And then, right. you know, I'll see what people have to say on Twitter. But right. I don't watch it as heavy as, like, say, Battlestar Galactica or, you know. But I do. I'm there every episode and I'm there, like, glued.
Right. Yeah. Well, I watch it 3 times a week. I watch it first. I have a full-time job. I do this for fun, and so I have to – it's hard. I loved it when it was on Thursday nights because then I only had Friday to deal with because I was staying up all night writing about it. But now that it's on Wednesdays, it's a little more challenging. So I watch it and take notes and pause, and I love TiVo. Thank goodness for TiVo.
Do you watch it online ever? Online?
I do, but I usually don't have to because I buy it the next day on iTunes, and then I buy the DVDs later.
Oh.
So I can watch it multiple times.
Yes, I did see your picture with the DVD smiling.
Yeah, that's – I'm such a dork.
I love it. See, that's how I am kind of with Star Trek a little bit. I had to calm my Star Trek down a little bit, so, you know.
Yes.
But I do
people make fun of me.
they make fun of you. Oh, come on. It's all in fun. Lisa,
yeah, the people who don't watch Lost make fun of me. The people who watch Lost understand.
Yeah, I totally understand. Yeah. Like I said, if yep. they went through my closet and looked at all my Star Trek stuff, I'd have
See? You know, but, I'm wearing a Dharma
totally
hat
understand.
Right now.
Oh, hush.
It's true. Yeah,
what
I
else are you
going to
wear?
What
else are you going to wear?
That's all I have. I do have, I think I have, I think that's about all I have. I have a Numbers t-shirt I got years ago, the first season, and then I have a Dharma hat, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I do have another one, another question, because I don't understand the others, the hostels.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Oh, okay. Well, good. Now, just because you said you don't understand, now I feel good because I still can't understand, like, okay, so you have the hostels first, you have the others take over, which looked like they were some sort of team that was there from the time that the bomb had to be buried or something. Oh, God, and what about this damn bomb? I think it's the reason why the island is weird.
I'll tell you, I think that the Jughead, the bomb, I think that they buried it under the Swan Hatch. Because if you remember when they first discovered the hatch, Saeed and Jack went under there and Saeed said, I haven't seen this much radiation since Chernobyl. And it was buried under cement. And one of the things Faraday said is, whatever you do with this, it needs to be buried under a lot of cement. So I think it was under the Swan Hatch. And what happened is, shortly after the 50s, shortly after the time we've seen, they buried it under there, and it did continue to leak, and that's what caused the incident, quote-unquote, that we have not seen, and that's why I think at that point, women started getting infertile when they were conceiving on the island.
That makes sense.
I think it all relates back to the bomb and where it's stored and what happens in the incident. So I'm hoping that we get to see that.
What is the guy who, his name, he doesn't get old?
Oh, Richard Alpert.
Richard.
Yes.
See, he still needs to be explained. He doesn't have any other people with him. All of his other hostile people, are they on the island still or are they dead? I forget.
There are still some because if you remember at the end of last season, they were escorting Saeed and Kate back to the helicopter. And that's when they made the deal with Ben that they could leave the island. There's still a subset of hostiles. I don't know where they live because they don't leave footprints. I don't know what their deal is. If I had to guess, I think they live underground in the island somewhere. I've always had this theory that that's where Cindy the flight attendant and the tail section kids, Zach and Emma, and all the others and hostiles, there's some kind of underground community. And it's the only place I can think that they would possibly live. That's a whole other
thing. But what would make them stay young?
That's a good question. There's a theory that Richard Alpert...
But if there's radiation, wouldn't they have aged and died off by now? That's the only thing.
Right. No, I agree. And I just wonder if there's some kind of immunity based on, frankly, people have asked if they're human, if Richard Alpert is human. There are also people who think that Richard Alpert was the captain of the Black Rock ship that landed on that island. That's how he first got there. Mm. And that the frozen donkey wheel is actually the wheel from the Black Rock.
Because it does look like a
boat wheel.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, but okay. I can't really explain why that. It's hard.
Why does turning sense. Of the wheel?
I know. I agree. I'd say 90% of this doesn't make sense. which is why I love this show. Because to me, it's a series of questions. And unlike other people, I don't get frustrated with having questions and not getting answers. I love it. It's just so well written. And it's such a great circular, the way they brought it back with recreating the opening.
It's more of a circle jerk.
Exactly. Except I have no problem with it.
No, I don't. At the end of every episode, dude, lost. And then I'm like, oh, God, these bastards, they hate us. Oh, I can't wait for next week, So.
Exactly. Well, and to go back to your question, I don't think that there is a clear response yet for you have the military people, then you have the hostiles, and then you have the others, and you have Dharma. So at what point did they meld and merge, if at all, and was there more than one purge? I mean, I don't really know who's who.
Yeah, because Dharma, so we said we had soldiers, we had Dharma, but Dharma is not the soldiers.
No, and then you also had when they first started.
Soldiers.
Exactly. Then you first started flashing. You had there was a group of guys with machetes who wanted to cut off Juliet's hand. So clearly, that was the oldest time we flashed back to.
It
was pre-guns.
Right.
You had guys with machetes who were like, "I'm going to cut off your hand and your other hand," and she was like, "What do you mean my other hand?" And then
first
Sawyer stepped in and locked.
It's already gone.
Exactly.
What the hell?
Yeah, and it's like, wait, when did she lose her hand? And just and then. But then it got me thinking about the four-toed statue.
Oh,
because,
Lord.
I know. Another mystery.
We haven't seen that thing in forever.
They've only shown it once, but it's on the front of everyone's mind. And I always think of that now. There's a lot of missing limbs and injuries regarding time travel and the flashes. And I cannot wait to see whose foot that is.
So that wasn't an actual big statue. That was total CGI, right? you know,
they actually made a little styrofoam one. And what's interesting is on the, I think it was a podcast or a DVD extra, the production designer said it was actually supposed to be six toes, but on film it just looked like a five-toed, so I just cut off two. Which is interesting. And then the Damon and Carlton said, well, ABC thought six toes was too weird, but four was fine. So it's just like, does it really mean anything, or is it a production thing, you know, or is
four toes would mean that, you know, how they say that evolution, we're going to get rid of that extra pinky toe because we don't really need it for anything and blah, blah, blah. Exactly. So I can see how you can make something out of four and not six.
Yeah. True. And, something from the future? And if so, why did Saeed see it now? It baffles my mind, but it's another mystery I laugh at because I have no idea.
Oh, God. I talked to several people. No one knows anything except for you know a little bit more because you pay a little bit more attention. Watching it three times. Oh, what else do you watch? You have a long list of stuff you watch. Oh, I also noticed that you had two cats named Mulder and Scully. I'm impressed.
I do. I'm a huge... Before Lost, my thing was X-Files, and it was luckily before, like, the blogs and the message boards, because I just wouldn't have a life, really.
I know. I was total X-Files. I have comic books. I have books, calendars. I did a YouTube video on the crap that I had of X-Files.
Oh, my God.
Pencils.
Okay, see, I love you already.
I'll have to send you that link, because it's just like, why do I have all this? The soundtracks, movies, VHF. I don't even know what I had. It was just like every magazine from.
Yep.
It was crazy. It's crazy.
The collector's cards. It's crazy. Yeah. I finally recycled my, I had every episode videotaped on like one VHS, but that's, you know, like hundreds of tapes. So I haven't bought the box DVD set yet, but I need to, because I think that's in my top shows ever.
Mm-hmm. I totally lied at work when I used to work somewhere, and I was like, I have a religious event on every Friday. So it was on Fridays.
No way.
I cannot work on Fridays, and I'd be there watching the X-Files.
That's how we are now with Lost. On Wednesday morning, there's 70 of us at work, 30 of us watch Lost. That's all we can talk about. You know, like, what's going to happen? And then the next day, we all have coffee in the morning and discuss it, and they want to, like, pick my brain, and I'm always like, read the blog, I'm too tired.
Oh, that's hilarious.
But yeah, I watch a lot of television shows. I could try and tell you, but I go from Sunday through Friday, and it would tell you what a freak I am. You ready?
Well, I know that you watch Heroes. I know that you watch House. That's the ones that I remember. What else?
Yep, Fringe.
Fringe. I still haven't counted. What do you think of Fringe so far?
I really like it because, to me, it mixes the elements of Alias, Lost, and The X-Files. And I don't have the emotional resonance yet that I had with the other characters, but I like the science, and there's a lot of humor in this show.
Oh, God, it is. It is very funny.
Yeah, so I really actually like it, and I hope more people jump on.
Okay.
Yeah, but I also watch, frankly, I have a lot of shows that I'm a total girl. I watch Brothers and Sisters. I watched Grey's Anatomy, Private Practice. I know, but I think to get away from the sci-fi and not think, I have to watch some crap, you know?
I also
love...
What else?
I know. I watch a lot of cable shows. I'm really into the new show, The United States of Tara.
I heard about
Toni
that.
Collette.
What is this about again?
So she has a multiple personality. She plays four different women, and it's very interesting. They're called they're her alternates, and it's Toni Collette, who's brilliant. You know, Muriel's Wedding and Little Miss Sunshine. She's just a great actress, and it's written by Diablo Cody, who won the Oscar for Juno.
Oh.
So it's funky, it's contemporary, it's very well acted. It's a half hour comedy drama on every, I think, Sunday on Showtime.
Oh, half hour.
It's a half hour.
Maybe.
So you might want to look at it.
Maybe.
And I watched Flight of the Conchords on HBO, because that to me is pee your pants funny. It's just funny. And I do need to laugh because shows like Lost are so intense that I love 30 Rock and The Office on Thursday night because they make me laugh. And it's important. So you're not a sitcom person?
The only sitcom that I really watch is Big Bang Theory. I'm just really not into sitcoms, and that's because it's a bunch of nerds doing crazy stuff.
Right. Everyone keeps telling me to watch it, so.
It is. It's hilarious. I think you'd enjoy it. What else? Battlestar Galactica, Heroes. Mm-hmm. Oh, the reason why I really, you kind of stood out to me because I was watching Dollhouse. And yes. I haven't formed an opinion on Dollhouse, and you haven't either, and I just can't figure out what is it about the show that I don't like or that I do like. I know that it's 100 times better than Bionic Woman. I know that. We'll have to say that.
That is true. Are you now? I did a preview of it. I got to see a screener of it like a month or two ago, and I wrote a preview of it on this site called TV Overmind. And I had to start by saying I've never watched any Joss Whedon shows because I know that Whedon fans, like Lost fans, are very rabid.
Yes,
you know, in their enthusiasm, and I totally appreciate that. But I was like, don't kill me. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I think it has a lot of potential.
It is. Well, Buffy and Firefly it was lighter and it was funnier and the characters were more lovable. Right. Then you had Angel and now this Dollhouse and it's a little serious and it's a little perhaps depressive. Right. Depressing rather. Yeah. And
well, I love the concept. I have to be honest, I do not love the acting. I mean,
none of it.
I like Olivia Williams, the woman who leads the Dollhouse, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's...
Eliza Dukeshoo, I kind of, maybe it's my inner feminist, but the whole, like, you're kind of being whored out with a new personality. And the episode last night, which I love because the guy from The Middleman was on it, Matt Keeslar played the jerk with the bow and arrow.
Oh my God, he was so crazy!
Yeah, and he was the guy who plays the fun guy on The Middleman, which is another great show that was canceled.
No.
Anyway, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
I really love the concept. I just wish I'm waiting for the acting to kick it up a notch. I don't have an emotional involvement with anyone on that show.
Well, we have Amy Ackerman was Fred on Angel, so that's where I know her. She's the doctor with the slashes in her face. You remember?
Right. I can't wait to hear that story.
That was in the second episode. Remember? With the Alpha?
Well, I hope that we get to more of that. You know what I mean?
Okay. They had Mark Shepard, and he was in Firefly, which is another Joss Whedon. So you have a lot of the actors from Joss Whedon shows in it, which, you know, and of course, is it Eliza or is it Alicia or whatever?
I don't know.
I think it is Eliza, too. I don't know why I want to make it Alicia because I don't understand Eliza. What type of name is that? Well, I can't complain. Anyway.
I don't love how I know they're wiped clean when they come back from their assignments, but I just don't love how vapid and no personality and like there's not an ounce of anything to her when she's back at the Dollhouse.
Yeah, there's not an ounce of anything to her. And they're just kind of glorified whore. She goes from being a whore to a hostage negotiator. And I don't get it.
Right. I liked the first episode more when she was saving the kid.
You like that because it's honorable and she had glasses and asthma and I could relate and blah, blah, blah. And then I don't mind the whore thing. It's just because Joss Whedon had an escort or something in his Firefly series. I didn't mind her at all, but it's just, I don't know. It's just kind of uncomfortable. It almost feels like abuse of some sort.
Yeah, it is bizarre. And what's interesting is actually the character I do like the most is Henry Lennox's character,
who
plays her
handler.
Oh. Well, he's a great actor. Yes. He totally commands the scene. I liked last night Friday night that there was more of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he maybe will bring out more personality in Dukeshoo's character, you know, because he does seem to care about her. And obviously, he was totally skeptical at the beginning, but I have high hopes for his character and his role.
She's not bad, but I think she plays a bad tortured girls. Like, she was Faith in Buffy. And if you ever seen her play Faith, when she gets pissed off, she's good at that.
We haven't seen that yet on Dollhouse, though. We haven't seen a range of emotion. And, you know, to me, like, Friday night's episode, there's no build-up to this guy's paying all this money for her to be the perfect girl and the sporty girl he's going to hunt. But you have no build-up to why they're making out by the river. There's no build-up to the relationship. I mean, are you telling me that they're imprinting her with, this is your boyfriend? And, you know, like, I don't know. I feel like there needs to be a little bit more of a story when she introduces them.
Yeah, like, how did they meet?
Yes.
Well, she got fed a story, he got fed a story, and bam, let's go Total Recall, you know?
Right.
This is like a flesh Total Recall.
And I know they only have an hour, and I know that it's only been two episodes. Like, I'm totally not giving up. Maybe I'm spoiled by shows like Lost, but I need more.
Well, I don't know that we're going to get more out of this one, because there's a lot of news stories about Dollhouse being in trouble and things like that. And I can kind of see why.
I know we're both hesitant to say.
I'm not sure yet. I'm not sure yet, because I like the cast. They are a lot of good people.
Right. And I think because you already are connected to them from other shows, you probably have more of an investment in this show than I do.
Mm-hmm.
I love Mark Shepard from, he did an arc on Medium, and he was the creepiest murderer on Medium, and I loved him.
Oh, he was on Medium? I used to love that show. He was, it just kind of got monotonous. It just kind of got monotonous to me. But he was
my favorite part of Medium is the family dynamic. I don't really care for her stories. I love the family dynamic between her and Joe and the kids.
Yeah, I kind of like that a little. Because she just, it makes her normal and connected to something. Yes. And I kind of like that.
Yeah, but you should look it up online. Mark Shepard played a serial killer for 3 episodes, and he was so good.
Oh, serial killers. Those are my favorites. Well, you know, not in real life or anything.
Of course.
Because they're douchebags. Well, but
well, you know, Michael Emerson was cast as Ben because of his stint where he won an Emmy playing a serial killer on Boston Legal.
Shut up, really? He does have that vibe. He has it.
It dies.
I hate him. I know he's a great guy in real life, but he has those beady eyes that make you just want to kick his ass. Like, Ben, I will take
It's so funny. I love Ben. I love the character of Ben Linus.
Because, like, what is he doing? He is just manipulating all this stuff. I want to understand, what is his motivation? What the hell is he getting out of it? Why is he so invested? I still don't get it. I still don't get it. Why is he so dedicated? Because he seems like...
I agree with that.
Yeah, like, what is his connection? Why? Why? Who made him?
I hope we get there. I hope they do tell us. I mean, he's so involved with everything. And he's, like you said, he's manipulated the heck out of everybody. And it just, they all keep falling for it.
Yeah. That was his latest episode. Like, why are you following him? Why are you listening to him? Why... Are any of you 3 years later after Ben, why are you going back to this crappy island? What are you doing? Of course, we wouldn't have a show.
Because it's true, we wouldn't have a show. He's been right 90% of the time. I think maybe that's why. And in their mind, they kind of know that.
But you know, right to what end? Nobody's asking to what end and how it all started. And damn it, Hawk. And who was the chicken with the coma?
So Faraday left her, you know, keep saying, oh, Faraday left. I think she's stuck in time. I think after Eloise the Rat died, that he was working on her, and she is stuck in time, and that's the state she's in.
So is her mind jumping through time? Because it seemed like she's jumping through time, but it's just her mind. Kind of like maybe brother, what's his name? Desmond. But he actually isn't in his mind.
Right, he's not stuck because Daniel Faraday said he's special and the rules don't apply to him, which is a whole nother, like, what?
Yeah, you know? So is Daniel Faraday, because his nose never bled, so he seems to be the newest person on the island. However, he's been there before and did some weird crap, and I can't really determine whether he's innocent now and goes evil, or is evil now and is manipulating things, or...
Right.
I can't quite...
Well, what's interesting is... When he did flash back to the Dharma days, when he was there early on in the first episode, he looked the same, too. He seems to also be ageless like Richard Alpert. He has not aged at all.
You're right.
I kind of think he and Richard Alpert are on the same page and maybe are the same type of person.
If these people are aliens, I could possibly be pissed.
Believe me, that you're not the only one. I defend the show all the time, and I put up with every change they make. But I will tell you right now, have you seen the last Indiana Jones film?
Oh,
the newest one.
Yeah.
You don't go alien, okay? You just don't.
Yeah.
That was so disappointing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to like that one really a lot. I really wanted to like that one, and I like aliens.
We like aliens, but we like them on X-Files, not on Lost.
Yeah, they had Indiana Jones had more aliens than the X-Files. X-Files movie, oh, God.
Oh, boy. No. Yeah, let's not talk about that.
Yeah, no.
But I just love seeing Gillian Anderson again, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah.
All is forgiven, my Scully.
I don't know, man.
It was like a long episode. It was like a long, painful episode.
Painful. Key word. Let me tell you. Let me tell you, because I did not get it. Like, you brought these guys out of the woodwork for this.
And just, I think the whole reason was to show us that they were sleeping together. You're like, okay, well, that's sort of a natural progression.
We knew that. We knew that. They had a baby. Exactly. It was a baby. We knew it. We already knew that. Where's the baby? The baby's gone, and they didn't even, that was a bigger story to me than it.
I know. See,
I wonder if this stuff makes my blood pressure go up. I'm really interested in a study. Like,
I know. And yet we don't know these people and they're fictional, and look at us react to them, you know?
I think it's a testament and a compliment to the writers of this show that they can keep us, you know, entertained.
Absolutely.
We'll bitch about it, but we know that it is just a TV show. These people have lives and stuff like that. So I think, you know, by doing podcasts and blogs and stuff like that, it's a compliment. And I think they should see
Absolutely.
It as such. And, you know, we don't really hate people or anything. We don't really, you know, it's just part of the fun, and I think you are one of the people that get it, that, you know, you go out there and you put out a blog and you do this and you do that, because why? It's part of the fun of the show, you know?
Yes, absolutely. It's out of respect for them. They've created such an interesting product that it's fascinating, and of course we're going to be critical as fans because they've built up our expectations, especially with shows like Lost, you know?
Yes.
So our expectations are sky high.
And then too, we can't... The shows are their vision, you know, so you don't want to go in and say, hey, it should be like this and that, but sometimes like on Battlestar Galactica, do you watch that at all?
You know, I don't, but I was just talking to someone else who does a Battlestar blog, and they said, when Lost is over this summer, rent all 5 seasons and just go and watch them.
Don't. I say, save your frustration and don't. Just don't.
Okay. Good to know. Interesting.
Or maybe you can. I mean, because it's good, but they get in there and they mess up a lot. It's not as tight as Lost, because Lost, they get in there, but if they make an error, it's just not as obvious. When BSG, they make an error or they miss a step, it's just, I don't know, it's just so blatant. And
it seems like the BSG fans are on par with Whedon and Lost fans. They are very, very vocal.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Fans of any type, just vocal.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, maybe, you know, like Ron Moore and Whedon and all those guys, of course, they take it with a grain of salt, you know.
Yes. I guess they have to, because there's so much dissension, so many voices out there that how do you pick through?
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
Because, hey, they're getting paid, and we're just watching, so.
That is true, and it's only, all publicity is good publicity, regardless of whether it's positive or negative.
Yeah, so.
True.
I think those guys are.
Sorry, we were talking about Dollhouse.
Oh, yeah, and then we got back on, well, I think we're done with Dollhouse, because I don't.
Okay. I'm curious. I'll have to check back in with you later in the season, because I'm like you. We're like on the fence. It's only 2 episodes. We really want to love it, but we don't know yet.
Yeah, I don't know yet. And the horror thing is making me a little uncomfortable. I'm not a prude.
Yes.
I'm not a good girl. Wow.
But
I have my moments to where I have my naughty times. But damn it, I don't know. It feels slightly abusive.
Are there going to be, I know it's called Dollhouse, but there's Ken dolls. Are there going to be any males? Are we actually see them in action, you know?
Okay, if they do balance it out with gigolos, I will be quiet.
Okay, I was going to say, are they going to provide some of that, like, just, you know, the, are they going to provide some shirtless men for you ladies?
Or something for you, you know?
I know.
You know, well, yeah, can't just keep it balanced, you know, but, If they balance it out with, because I didn't think of that until you brought it up, like, yeah, let's get some guys in there, and then, I don't have anything to say because it's even, but now it just feels like I already see the cracks in Echo's, I guess, psyche, because some stuff is imprinting and some stuff is left over, and I can see that it's going to be a problem. So I'm going to give Joss Whedon his time and his chance, because... Dude is smart. He knows how to write a show. We just got to give him a chance.
Right. I agree. I'm going to be patient.
I don't want to. Because I want to be, you know, I want to like a show right off, be excited right off. I don't want a lukewarm entry to it. Because a lot of shows, they wow you. Eureka, you know, other sci-fi shows, they wow you, but right.
Oh, do you watch Bones? I love Bones.
I just could not. Angel, he's from the guy. Yes. Yeah, he's
David Boreanaz is David, great. Yes.
I just couldn't get into it. The lead lady, what's her name?
Emily Deschanel.
Yeah, I don't dig her.
What's funny is I like them because it's as if the X-Files had a sense of humor with more science involved.
I like it like that. That's awesome.
Yeah. That's how I think of it. And I know David Boreanaz is such a dry sense of humor, and Emily Deschanel's character is such a cerebral person that she has socially awkward. And I love that because she does not know anything. She's not up on pop culture. She's pure science. She can't even see past her own textbook. And I like the way that they banter off of each other. It just makes it enjoyable.
I don't know. Is that, I think she's just unrealistically socially retarded, you know. Awkward. it's just like, come on, because I think it was the one time when she was in, I think it was a black nightclub, and she started talking about something about primitive something or another, and they wanted to whoop her ass or something. I was just like, oh my god.
Okay, that's first season.
I'm
watching it since season one. So yeah, it's a fair assessment. I mean, if you're not, it's like you're in or you're out, you know, because you either like them or you don't. That's totally fair.
Yeah, I have other shows, and I just had to. I know people, it's not a bad show. It's just like, I could be watching something else.
Did you watch True Blood?
Yeah, no. I gave it a chance, and the vampires, when they turn to vampires, and I just couldn't deal with it. They look too cheesy.
Yeah. Interesting.
I kind of like it
because it's got some supernatural sci-fi stuff to it, but the show grew on me as well. I did not like the first few episodes, which is why it gives me hopes for Dollhouse, that I have to lower my expectations and let the story build.
I don't know. I know other people that swear by it. Is it still on? It hasn't been canceled yet?
Not only has it not been canceled, it won like best new show, and Anna Paquin got best actress, and it's been up for the second and third seasons. Emmys.
Shut up. Serious? Yeah. It
won a bunch of awards, including Anna Paquin, which was a big surprise because she's my least favorite person on that show.
I didn't like her either. And I didn't like the vampire with his stupid hair, and the vampires looked weird, and everything looked dirty and poor on the set. And I was just like, not that anything's wrong with dirty. I want Interview with the Vampire. I want them to be awesome and sexy and rich and weird, or not like Blade because that failed. But
okay, I agree with you because I think that when you have a vampire thing, whether it be Twilight the movie or True Blood, if you're distracted by the makeup and teeth and hair, then your job isn't done.
Yeah.
You know, we should be focused on the character.
I think
and the transformation should be more organic.
I think it was just
No, I hated the movie Twilight because I thought the makeup was, you know, a sixth grader put on some white cake makeup. I thought it was horrible.
I didn't bother to see it.
I liked the book because it was totally guilty pleasure cheesy, and I thought it was well cast. I did because it's a pop culture thing. Because I'm a pop culture person, and everyone threw it at me, and I said, fine. And then it was sort of like a 2-day giggle read of silly 13-year-old romance. Oh, and, you know, sometimes my brain needs to turn off. And I enjoyed it. So I went and saw the movie, and it was so poorly done. Like, no budget, you know?
Well, all of the hype. Anyways. I thought it would have a budget, and it would be beautiful. And see, the next movie, it'll have a budget and be beautiful, but be crap. Well,
exactly. Maybe they'll better makeup artists. Exactly.
I hope, for the love of God. I don't know.
Sorry, I digressed. We went off path.
Yeah, whatever. That's us. That's me. But I don't know. I couldn't get into it. I almost was there. Somebody at work tried to give me the books. I almost took them. Then I guess she felt that, you're not on it enough.
Even though the writer of the books is a consultant on the show, people who love the books say it's not at all in the direction it's going. You know, it doesn't follow along with the books. So who knows? I think I'm done reading vampire books though. So.
Yeah, I'm over vampires. I tried to watch Moonlight Comes On before Battlestar Galactica, the reruns, and that's pretty painful. That's painful.
That was canceled too. Huh?
Yeah, that's gone. There was one on Lifetime. I forgot the name of it. Did you catch that one? That vampire show?
Vampire show on Lifetime. No, I don't believe I've watched anything on Lifetime.
Yeah, it was weird because, like, vampire show on Lifetime.
That's funny.
Yeah.
The only thing I'll watch on Lifetime is when they finally figure out if Project Runway is going there or not. I will watch Project Runway.
Oh, that's my guilty pleasure. I do watch Project Runway. I don't understand the whole Lifetime move, but...
I know. But, you know, but people like us will follow it wherever it goes.
I don't know. They've been kind of... Blood Ties was the name of that vampire series.
Oh, I heard about that.
Lifetime.
Okay.
Yeah. It wasn't... It lasted two seasons, and it wasn't awful.
Huh. Okay. Maybe I'll have to watch it online.
Since it's canceled, maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not.
Yeah,
okay.
I don't know. Yeah. If you break your leg and can't move or something, yeah, then catch
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Knock on wood.
All right. Well,
like, I need another excuse to, like, lay on the couch and watch.
I hear you. Oh, my goodness. Well, we've rambled on enough. I guess I'm going to call this one an end to this show. But I thank you, Joe, for coming on and rambling with me and talking about, God, we started talking about everything.
You did. Thank you for talking your off for almost an hour. I love it. And if you ever want to talk about anything besides Lost, I could talk forever about any show.
That's good. Oh, well, good. I'll have to take you up on that because it's a whole bunch. You watch Terminator?
I don't. I lied. Okay. I lied.
You know, actually, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Yeah. It is. Okay. You think it wouldn't be? Because it's kind of one of those cheesy, I don't know, dollhouse at the beginning. But if you make it to the, like, last three episodes of the first season and then all the way through the second season, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Okay,
they're doing some good stuff.
I saw Josh Friedman at a panel last year at Comic-Con talking about it. And so it looked, he has a lot of enthusiasm for it. So maybe I'll have to give that a shot.
Comic-Con. Oh, I want to go.
I'm going again this year.
Oh, you lucky devil. You better post pics.
I'll call in to your, podcast and talk about it.
Oh, awesome. Oh, I would love that because I don't know if
Perfect.
I'm going. So, okay. Well, thank you, Joe. You want to plug your website one more time before we leave?
Sure, you can find all of my websites on joeopinionated.com. It's just the word opinionated and put a J in front of it. And thank you very much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed you too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Hey, Kat, it's Doug, and I just wanted to call you for two reasons. First of all, to let you know how much I am enjoying the new show.
Yay.
Okay, well, not the Lost episode so much. But that's probably because I can encapsulate my Lost knowledge into three ideas. One, the plane crashed. Two, there's polar bears on a tropical island. And three, two main ideas. But at any rate, beside that, I am enjoying the show a great deal. Your guests are great and love, of course, hearing what you all have to think about the topics, even when I don't agree, because it's fun to yell at my iPod. And the other reason I wanted to call was to wish you a very happy birthday. Oh. Happy 21st, right? Yeah, let somebody else try and deny that. Anyway, have a great week. I'm looking forward to the next show. Bye.
Oh, Doug, that was an awesome voicemail. Thank you for calling. That is Doug from Geek Acres. He has an awesome podcast. You can reach it at geekacres.net or com or something. I'm not looking at the computer right now. But anyway, buddy, just for that flattery, you have to come on my show. It is a demand. I don't know what you watch right now. I guess not Lost. But whatever you're watching right now, I have other shows that I would love to talk about and love to hear your opinion on. Hell, we could talk about everything you watch. Doesn't matter to me. See you soon. Thanks for calling. And that's the show. Thanks for listening. To comment on the show, go to scifipartyline.com or email me at fancyfembot@gmail.com. To leave your thoughts via voicemail, give me a call at 206-203-2289. If you want to join in the next episode or have a show that you want to talk about, just find me under the username of Fancy Fembot on Skype, Twitter, MySpace, or Facebook, or just go to fancyfembot.com. You can also find this podcast on iTunes. Again, thanks for listening, and see you at the party next time.